The yoke of Christ, to be yoked up with the Lord, to come alongside of Him is this. He wants His heart living and beating in you. Amen? That's the true yoke of Christ. It's where His heart is now our heart.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us for Love Never Fails. Our study continues today with Pastor Bill's series, Essentials of the Heart. Pastor has titled this message, Stuck in Glory. Let's join Pastor Bill now.
Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're doing a series that normally on a Wednesday nights we teach through the Old Testament. September, we'll begin back in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. But we're doing a series, and this is the third in a series entitled The Essentials of the Heart. I pray that you have been here for all of the teachings, and if not, I pray that you will go and pick them up at the bookstore. According to the Bible, talking about our heart tonight, the heart is the very center of all the operations of life, our hearts, and everything in life, everything that we do, whether it is good, whether it is bad, whether it is whatever we do, it always begins in our hearts, whether it's fears, lies, goodness, whatever it is, our real person is found there. Remember the scripture that we've been going to every Wednesday night. Let me read it to you from Proverbs 4 in verse 20, saying, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." And he tells us why. "For their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." And then he tells us to do something. He says to keep. It means to guard. It means to protect above all that we do. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, which means above everything else, protect your heart. Why? "For out of it," out of your heart, out of my heart, "spring the issues of life." Boy, life is a big word, amen? Birth to death, all that's in between. So we've learned already that the most important thing that we can do as a believer is to protect our heart. And that means the danger is within. It's the things that come out of the heart we've already learned that contaminate, defile a person. And Jesus told us, he says in Matthew, he says, "But those things which proceed from the mouth come from the heart and defile a man." Those evil thoughts and murders and schemings and fornications and all the rest of that, lies and so forth. And we also know that as a result of the new birth, talking about our heart tonight, that Jesus now lives there. Amen? The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:6, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son," where? "Into your hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Listen, Jesus is alive in our hearts. He lives in our hearts. Colossians 1:27, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." Amen? And then we learned last time that we were together what the true yoke of Christ really is. When He commanded us in Matthew's gospel, He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." The yoke of Christ, remember what I said? The yoke of Christ, to be yoked up with the Lord, to come alongside of Him is this. He wants His heart living and beating in you. Amen? That's the true yoke of Christ. It's where His heart is now our heart. And so when we understand that, when we look out now with the heart of Christ and we see the hurting and the lonely and the people that are in trouble in life, we're not there to judge them, beat them up. We're there just like Jesus to help them, to save them, to bring victory into their life. Amen? So that is the yoke that this church has taken up. But listen now, it is only as we follow Jesus that we truly experience the beating heart of Christ. See, taking His yoke, remember, is what activates His heart. And then our hearts will pour forth His life into this world filled with darkness. Jesus told us, he said, you know, if any man desire to come after me, he said, for him to deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. It didn't say to admire him, which we do admire the Lord. We love the Lord. It said, I want you to follow me. That means it's a decision. You know, there's only two ways in life, two roads a person can go down. No matter what continent they live on, what state they're in, no matter their condition, there are only two roads in life. It says in Matthew chapter 7:13, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And listen now, there are many, he said, that go into that. Any lifestyle will do. Any belief system will work. Just come on in. And then he says, because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, which leads to life. That's what we want. And few there be that find it. Now, with all that being said tonight, I want you to look. I hope you're already in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. And look with me now at verse 1. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of commendation from you? He says, do we need all that? He says, what he's saying is that, listen, my letter that I have is available for anyone to see at any time. And he tells us what that is. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. It is evident, or clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but how? Watch this now. But by the Spirit of the living God. Where is that happening at? Not on tablets of stone, not under the old covenant, not under the law, but on tablets of flesh. That is of the what? The heart. We're talking about the issues of life that spring from the heart tonight. Now, the Holy Spirit, we know, works in the heart of all believers. Matter of fact, if we went back to chapter 2 here in 2 Corinthians, we'd find out that the Bible tells us that we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Think about that. Now he's saying here that we're God's love letter. We're like a love letter to this world because we have the heart of Christ, because God's written on our hearts. The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. Look down at verse 11 now about the old covenant that's decreasing in glory and the new covenant, which is ever increasing in glory. For if what is passing away was glorious, meaning the law, the old covenant, what remains is much more. You know what? Go back to verse 8. I skipped it, but I want to read verse 8. Let's just go to verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory is passing away. Look at verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, be what? Not be more glorious. More glorious. That's the Holy Spirit that's working right now in our hearts, loved one. Look at verse 11. For what it's passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. That's the new covenant, the Holy Spirit working in the heart of the believer. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. In other words, the Old Testament Jews are then and even today, some of them, they read the word and they do not see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. They do not see him. They don't see the Messiah, if you will. It says, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their what? Heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, when we came to Jesus Christ, the new birth, when his Spirit of his Son came into our hearts, whereby we started crying out, Abba, Father, that intimate talk with God. It says that veil is taken away in the new birth. Where is it taken away from? It's taken away from the heart of man. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, I want to stop right there. Where is the Holy Spirit right now? Of course he's here, but he's where? He's in our hearts. Now listen carefully. I'm talking about the essentials of the heart. I'm talking about the issues of the heart. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about let Jesus pour out of you. He says right here, he says, where now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There is freedom. Now here it is. Freedom to do what? I hope tonight I'm able to convey what's in my heart. Because every week I'm just simply waiting on the Lord to tell me where to go. I don't have next week down, or I don't have a whole list. I'm just every week, Lord, now where do you want me to go next? Tonight, the Holy Spirit working in us, He's in our hearts. Here's what He wants to do. He wants to take each and every one of us that belong to Him from glory to glory. That's what we're going to find in verse 18. Okay, now listen. A lot of us, maybe not all of us, I don't know. I don't mean all of us. And I'm a little, you can tell, dingy tonight. I have 3 glasses of iced tea. Whew. Man, I'm only a 1-cupper, okay? I even took one to my office. I'm loaded. What we don't want to do is be stuck in glory. Say that with me. Stuck in glory. We don't want that. Amen? And I'm going to show you why. Now, let's look at this. Here's this freedom, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Look at verse 18. But we all, meaning all, everyone who is in Christ, with unveiled face, unveiled, we're not like Moses. The veil's been taken not only off of our heart, but the veil, he put it on because he'd been in the presence of the Lord. Listen, we're in the presence of the Lord right now. Amen? First of all, he said he'd never leave us, never forsake us. He's with us always, even until the end of the age. He's here right now. He's also living in our hearts. And he says, so all of us with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Jesus, His glory reflecting out of each and every one of our lives. Look what's happening now. The Holy Spirit, look what He's doing. Our being, that's present tense. That means there's a process going on in our lives right now. Our being what? Transformed. We get our word metamorphosis. We're being transformed from the inside to the outside, if you will, into what? The same image. Romans 8:29, we're being conformed into the image of Christ, into the same image. And here it is. From what? From glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen very carefully. Where is the Spirit of the Lord working? In our hearts, in our hearts. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, Galatians 4:6. He's there right now. The Holy Spirit is working. He loves you. He's in your life. Now listen, the incredible plan of God. It says the same image. You know, if you just think about that for a minute, that means the tangible, visible representation, imitation, incarnation, whatever you want to call it, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen, we are in process right now. Does that make sense? We're in process changing into the image of our Savior Jesus. We're partakers of His divine nature. Jesus is alive in our hearts on the inside, and His life, God says, I want manifested on the outside. I look at that and I say, oh Lord, God is saying, I want you to walk like Jesus. I want you to talk like Jesus. I want you to react like Jesus. I want you to think like Jesus because you have His mind. Loved one, chapter 3 says this. Paul said, you are a living epistle. You are a love letter, if you will. We are God's love letter to this world. Do you believe that? You know, there's a lot of mean Christians. God doesn't want any mean Christians. No, you can't go from glory to glory by being a mean Christian. No, no, no. Listen, you know, here's the problem. You know, if we're a living epistle, that's like a letter, or we're a book, and our whole life is in a book, if you will, from glory to glory. What page are you on right now? There's a lot of Christians, they're on page 1, saved. That's it. They're not going forward. You know what the great, great Christian explorer David Livingstone said? He said this, I'm willing to go anywhere, 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 as long as it's forward. How would you like to read the same chapter of a book or the same page of a book the rest of your life? Every morning I get up and I read the same, you know, what kind of life is that? No, listen, we are like a book. And you know what? The Christian life is not boring. The Christian life is exciting. And once you start reading the book, the plan of God that He has for us, you don't want to put the book down. It's like, oh, let me get to the next page, Lord. Let me get to the next glory, Lord. I don't want to be stuck where I am. I want to keep growing because the Christian life is a journey. It says there, from glory to glory, not stuck in one glory. Are you listening to me? Very important. Go in your Bibles. Do a study, if you will, of the men and women of God and look at the process of the transformation, how they went from glory to glory as they served and walked with the Lord. You take the call of Abraham. Let me just read, if you don't mind, the first three verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1. Listen, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Listen to me. Abraham departed on less than 70 words from God. That's what I call faith. Amen. He says, "Abraham, I want you to get away from your country, your family, your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you. I want you to leave everything behind, and I want to send you at the age of 75 to an uncertain destination that you don't even know where you're going to go to." Now listen, I'm talking about from glory to glory. What would have happened had Abraham not left the Ur of the Chaldees there on the great banks of the river Euphrates? What would have happened? Now listen, here's the deal. He would have missed the process. He would have been stuck in glory. That's one of the problems today in the church. See, in other words, they're not moving. People are not moving forward with the Lord. There's so much to be done. See, Abraham, for example, he would have missed the process. In other words, he would have always stayed Abram. He would have never gone from Abram to Abraham. He would have never gone from Abraham to friend of God. Are you following me? Matter of fact, he would have missed more than that. He would have not only missed the process of God, he would have missed the plan of God in his life. "I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you. And whoever curses you, I'm going to curse." Not only that, and through you, Abram, there on the Ur of the Chaldees, he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Amen? He became the father of the Hebrew race. He became the father of the nation of Israel. Listen to me. "Through you, Abraham, the one man on the entire face of this planet," God said to one man, "in you, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." We know how, don't we? In other words, from him, the lineage, all the way came the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He would have missed everything, all of that. For the next 25 years, we know the story. Abram remained childless. He had no children. As he journeyed through the land of transformation, he went from glory to glory. Listen to me. When we get on the narrow road is the only road that leads to life. That is the process. The narrow road is the place of transformation. It's the place from glory to glory. It takes us that way in our life. And you know what? Abraham is no different than any other man. He had to depart by faith, and we have to do the exact same thing. It says from glory to glory. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in the life of the believer. Just think about Peter in the New Testament. You remember when his brother brought Peter to see the Lord, and the Lord looked at Peter and he said unto him, "Now you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. In other words, "Peter, I'm looking at you," Jesus said. And he said, "You're going to be as solid as a rock." Man, listen, did it take him a long time to become solid as a rock? But here's the deal. Had he not there when Andrew brought Peter to Jesus and Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Had Peter said, "Nah, I don't think I want to follow you. I think that I just want to stay in the fishing business that I'm in. I don't care too much about fishing men out of the sea of sin," which he didn't know what that meant anyway. And the thing is, he would have missed the process. He would have missed the plan of God. Now listen, he would have missed his transformation. He would have missed from glory to glory. Would you want to miss being a water walker? Can you imagine that? You know, sometimes I dream about things like that. You know, just walking, just, can you imagine? I mean, if all of a sudden I just walked right off this stage and just walked right on air, would that blow you away? Would it blow me away? Listen, how would you like to miss that in your life? In other words, we're just where you walk on the words of God. Jesus said, "Come," and he just went C-O-M-E right out there on the water. He would have missed, he would have missed the process. He would have missed going from glory to glory. See, in other words, he went from the water walker to walking away from God, which was part of the process. Peter went from saying, "I'll die for you, Lord. I don't know about these old boys. I don't know about the rest of these disciples, but Lord, I'll die for you." And he went from to die for you to denying him, didn't he? That's part of the process. That's part of getting to glory in your life. Listen, he went from, remember what Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He says, oh yes. Peter went from Peter, then you feed my sheep, to Peter, the pillar of the church, the apostle. Think about that. He went all the way to preach the first gospel message in the book of Acts, where 3,000 people came to the Lord, to walking out there and finally in his life, dying for Jesus Christ. He went from glory to glory to glory to glory. He never got stuck in part of the glory. Are you following me? He didn't get stuck there. He kept going on no matter what happened in his life. He kept moving forward. And that's what all of us, each of us, must do. How about Paul, the apostle? Someone called Paul, I think it was A.W. Tozer. He said Paul was the most successful Christian that ever lived. He was the greatest missionary that ever lived. He wrote, I believe, 13 at least, or I consider 14 books of the New Testament. He stood before kings. He started out as Saul. In Acts chapter 8, remember what he did? He made havoc of the church. The word havoc there, that verb, made havoc in the Greek, means to tear people apart like a wild animal. He was like a wild animal in the church. He was sending people. He entered houses and drugged them off, and he committed them to prison. He made people blaspheme the name of the Lord. And then one day on the road to Damascus, you know the story, the process began. That was when Paul entered into glory, from glory to glory, when the Lord appeared to him. And when he got up, he was blind, and Paul said, what must I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And you know, after he received his sight again and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and water baptized and all of that, the first thing Paul did, it says in the book of Acts in chapter 9, he immediately preached Christ. You see, from glory to glory. That's why Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ. Matter of fact, if I quoted the verse above that, Philippians 1:20, remember what he said? He said, I want Christ magnified in my body, whether by life or death. Amen? Magnified. I want the image of Jesus. I'm being transformed from glory to glory. And the way it happens is by the Holy Spirit who is working in our hearts. I want to ask you a question. I'm doing this to challenge you, not because I don't love you. I'm asking you a question. You know what's interesting? I told my wife this morning, I said, it's interesting. I'm teaching on the essentials of the heart. And I just happened to turn on the radio and what's his name? Who's on KDKR2, I forget his name now. He's teaching about the heart. And then Greg Laurie, our dear brother Greg at Calvary Chapel, you know, Harvest Crusades and so forth, he started this morning or Monday morning or whatever it was on a brand new series called The Essentials. And I'm going, man, the unity of the Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, Erwin Lutzer, that's who was teaching that on the heart. I was listening to him the other day. This wonderful series. And so I start thinking about this, you know, the essentials of the heart. I'm going to ask you a question. I know that you love the Lord and I love the Lord. I'm talking about all of us from the pulpit on down tonight. I'm talking to you that are listening live right now as well. Listen, are you stuck in the new birth? A lot of Christians just, man, I'm saved. And they go through this period of time and they're just, man, they're just, oh, it's great. But they're stuck right there. They're stuck in glory. And a question is, why are they stuck there? Or they may be saying, you know, man, listen, I was saved and I'm on fire. But then all of a sudden I had the upper room experience. I had the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. But then that was it. They're just stuck right there. Why? Or maybe, you know, you're up in years like me or a little older or whatever. And you're stuck in that age. Well, I'm old. I've done my part and so forth. You know, there's nothing left for me to do. Why? Why would you say that? And why do you believe that? Or you may say, I'm just stuck in the pew, stuck in religion. Or I'm retreating to a past glory. Now listen, if the process of transformation has waned or if it has stopped, number one, maybe we're no longer following the Lord on the narrow road. We're not following him. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being, something is happening. We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but you can hear the conclusion to this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll join us once again. We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us, and we'll see you here tomorrow. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.